What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I'm your host, Jeremy Brasillo. Joining me tonight, during semifinal week of the Cupful, my pal and yours, Shams Benmore. Shams, how are you doing on this fine Thursday evening, and how's your team been doing?
Yeah, I guess this year's not the greatest for me on the fantasy-wise. I'm in consolation bracket and one, and actually both because I lost the semis in the other. But the nice thing, though, is that I don't know if how well it was last year, but I'm really enjoying this playoff rush in both the East and the West in the NHL. I wish my Red Wings were doing a little bit more, but without that, I'm still just interested where it feels like every game day we have, there's like one game that has like a 5 or 10% swing in playoff probability. So it's really interesting to watch.
It is. This is one of the best years in recent memory I can think of for the number of teams who are fighting for the playoff spots and the division leads down the stretch. There's even some competition between Washington and Winnipeg for the President's Trophy. But with that, let's get to our injuries and outjuries. There's actually quite a few today. First off, what can you tell me about the Minnesota Wild forwards, Kirill Kaprizov and Joel Eriksson Ek?
We got some new news, but it's not really new information. Both of them are on the ice practicing, so it shows a little bit of life. But the thing is that they're still considered week to week. So right now, I don't expect him to see any time this matchup, and most likely not next matchup. So unless you're in one of those leagues that plays to the very end, maybe one of them or both of them might show up in the last few games, but I'm not holding my breath at this point.
The Wild do have a good schedule next week, so if you have the IR spot, you're not dropping them, but I agree with you. They aren't even practicing, actually. They are skating before practice, like on their own or with the other injured players, each other, basically. And that, to me, means they're at least a week away from playing games, probably a bit more with how long both of them have been out. So, unfortunately, I don't think you'll be getting help from either of them during your playoff run unless your league goes to that last week. Next up, Evgeny Malkin has missed the last two games for Pittsburgh. And boy, do they desperately need him with how many goals they're giving up. They do not look like an NHL team right now. It's been ugly. Unfortunately, there's no news on the severity of this, but given Pittsburgh's dwindling hopes and Malkin's age, I would not be surprised if they're going to take it easy with him. Do you have any more news than I did, Keg?
Right now, we don't have like the most specific details on both, but the interesting thing is that it looks like Dreisaitl is going to be coming back before Connor McDavid, but the thing is that it says like a week or less for Dreisaitl, and then we'll see how the rest goes. I believe on TSN they were talking about maybe McDavid not being able to make it to their California trip, but might be available after. So it looks like that they're both expected to come in back during the regular season with Dreisaitl coming before, but the interesting thing is that with how your playoff fantasy setup is, McDavid might be on the, you know, missing it entirely or catching the end of it. So just a big blow for fantasy managers.
Definitely a big blow for fantasy managers. Also a big blow for the Oilers. They are kind of just staying above wild card level, although maybe they want one of the wild cards so they don't have to play the Kings again in the playoffs for like the fourth straight season. I don't think they're really in danger of missing, even though mathematically they could. But another injury that the Oilers had, at the end of last night's game against Dallas, Stuart Skinner took a knee to the head as he was reaching to cover a puck. He's not traveling to tonight's game in Seattle, which kind of makes sense. It's a back-to-back with a road trip in between. Will remain to be seen whether or not he's ready to play Saturday against Calgary, as that's the next time they hit the ice. And it would be back at home, where he's presumably resting up whatever head injury he has. More goalie updates. The Red Wings' Cam Talbot was good enough to back up tonight, and he's actually played like two-thirds of the game tonight because Lyon got pulled after giving up three goals. Talbot hasn't given up a goal yet, so he looks pretty good. Soderblom's out. Mrazek's out, still being evaluated. Petrie's being looked at. Why is Soderblom in here? He's different team, right? Oh, other Soderblom. Okay.
Yeah.
I was in goalie mode, and I was thinking of the Blackhawks goalie. Okay. So Elmer Soderblom on Detroit is still out. Peter Mrazek's still out. Petrie, I believe, was back in today. He made the lineup, right? Yes, Jeff Petrie is back in the lineup today. Not that he's particularly fantasy relevant. So lots of Red Wings updates, not just goalies. Another goalie, Kirill Vejmelka, started his 15th consecutive game today. That is a recent history record. I forget when the last time a goalie had started that many in a row was, but it has been a while, according to the tweet I saw a couple days ago. It's not going well, though. Why don't you tell us what's up with him?
Well, he's been pulled. I forget the exact amount, but I think he's like hovered around 600 save percentage the last two games. But, you know, it doesn't bring any good feelings to say this, but like it is against Tampa, who just trashed Pittsburgh. So it's one of those situations where the coach is just straight up saying there's no load management. We can't rest them so we can play golf in April. So like, I know with Ingram out because of the player assistance program that he's taking, is that they have this young, unproven guy. Like, I think he may have only played like one game this season that they played him like ages ago when either Vejmelka or Ingram was hurt. So this just shows that they just have no faith in their other options. And at the very least, is that got to remember, Vejmelka has been great for a while, but he has had his peaks and valleys. He played himself like in and out of the starting role on this team and back with the Coyotes. So this could just be a mix of a lump, but at the very least, I would put him a level above of, you know, your Airsons or your other starting goalies that are kind of going through a rough spot. Now, it really just kind of depends on how much time frame you have to see this ride out, especially at the playoffs. You might have one more start and you might be out of the league. But with the way I look at this is that they're not going to play anyone else or at least start anyone else. Now, it's your question on just how well that next game's going to be.
Well, their next game is tomorrow. And I would say there's no way they're starting him on a back-to-back after he's been blown up a couple games in a row. But he did only play half of this game, so maybe they do start him tomorrow. Like, I don't know. That's a decision I do not envy the coach having to make. We'll find out on Friday whether or not he takes that start. Last but not least for injury news, we have two wingers looking to potentially return tomorrow. Brad Marchand may make his Panthers debut Friday, and they also play Sunday. And Andrei Svechnikov is also hopeful to return tomorrow on Friday, although that is him talking, not the coaches or the doctors, so remains to be seen. Any comments on these guys?
Just a quick note on Svechnikov is that you may have seen some lines floating around with him being on the fourth line, but the coach quickly said is that they're just kind of getting him in there in practice. So, and you should know if you follow Cade's lines, it's probably going to be three different sets of lines before the first period is even done. So if you have the space and you want to start him, assuming he's healthy tomorrow, I wouldn't be looking at the lines. Just think of just how well he plays and if he's better than your other players.
I have to assume that guys on those teams, such as Taylor Hall on Carolina, Mackie Senesiewicz, and Sam Bennett possibly on Florida, may lose some power play time when those two return. I have to imagine both of them jump up to power play one. But in the end, you know, get those guys in your lineups. The Friday-Sunday schedule's good, so if you have the guys in position to lose some deployment, still keep them, stream them. It's the end of the week. You'll get to see what happens. With that, let's go to a quick break, and we'll come back with some hot and cold.
This NHL season has been as predictable as a puck rolling on its edge. No one knows where it's going, but that just means there's time for your favorite team to figure things out and games left for you to get in on the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. It's super easy for first-timers to get started. Try betting on something simple like picking a team to win. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. And if you're new to DraftKings, listen up! New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777. Or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice.
Welcome back. It's kind of weird doing hot and cold streaks this close to the end of the season, because even if you add them, you're only getting a couple games. First off, let me start with a hot streak I found on one of my teams. Rasmus Anderson, the power play 2 defenseman on Calgary, has 2 goals and 5 assists in his last 7 games. Granted, that's buoyed by a 3-assist performance. He was already a decent peripheral guy, and Calgary has a good schedule next week, playing Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, I believe. Is he someone you'd be looking to add to fill a defense spot for you, or is this just random luck?
It all really depends on how you feel about the Flames as a whole. They've gone through just like the longest stretch of just not being able to score a goal to having in the last 3 games scoring 4, 4, and 5 goals in those 3 games, really buoyed by just the absolute strength of just Kadri just going off, having 4 goals, or actually, yeah, he has a 4-game goal streak if we don't count today. So it looks like they are just maybe coming a little bit more into it. They're playing Dallas tonight, which might not be the best. It is the Smith for points, but you got Colorado and Utah coming up next, which are not like, you know, Blackswood is good, but like these are not just, you know, Vasilevsky style goalies. So I could see them still getting points. And if that's going to happen, Anderson's one of those defensemen that just stays on the ice a lot with like a Uyghur. So if he's going to get the peripherals, he's already going to be fine. And if the team just has a little bit more of a pulse on the offensive capability, it's likely he's going to be involved, you know, as a second assist kind of situation, but it all counts the same at the end.
I agree. I think he's worth having on your team for a good schedule week, kind of just ride out the rest of the season and hope he stays hot to help win your championship. Guy who is probably not going to help win your championship is Owen Tippett. He's got 2 points in his last 12 games, having a nice cardio session through 2 periods today, has spent some time on the fourth line. I was hoping that with the coaching change that Philly just went through that maybe he'd get a second berth, but no, he's just droppable, I think. He plays Saturday and then only twice next week. I think you can safely kick him to the curb and move on with your team. Another hot streak, though, from another young guy, Mason McTavish. Has 5 goals and 8 assists in 12 games in March. His shooting percentage is 16.7, which is a little bit high, but actually not that much higher than he was shooting last year. He's got 15 shots over his last 3 games, and I've watched a few of the Ducks games recently, and he is very noticeable. He passes the eye test. He looks like one of their best players. Would you be looking to add Mason McTavish? I actually don't know the Ducks schedule next week.
Yeah, the way I look at it is that like I've been kind of following the Ducks a decent amount because I have Zegras, and it's that line just seems a lot. Like even though that like Zegras doesn't have the points, he has been like a lot of just notice that anytime that those two together, it feels like their most electric kind of situation, and there'll be a lot of near goals or like a nice pass and a nice save kind of situation. So they do play 3 games next week and none of them are light days, but at the very least, I would feel like if you have McTavish, or depending on a situation like a Tippett situation, I would be fine swapping McTavish, ride the high, and then depending on your situation, I'd be still interested in like a Zegras potentially, depending on how deep your league is, because I feel like, you know, it depends on what your other options are, is that he's playing well with him, doing a lot, like still getting a point here or there, but there's been a lot of close calls, so we could easily have a situation where he just like pops off and, you know, those year goals turn into goals.
Yeah, a Zegras or a Sam Colangelo, I think that's the technically the third line in Anaheim, but they've been really dominant from what I've seen. I also think they're good names to keep in mind for next year. I think Anaheim has shown a lot of growth as a team this year from the beginning to the end of the season. And I think they may be undervalued during draft season next year, especially those young guys who you're expecting to take that next breakout type step. Anaheim does only play Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday next week, although they play San Jose, Calgary, and Vancouver, which is some pretty good matchups if you're trying to score goals lately. For our next cold streak, you have Mika Zibanejad on there. He had been on fire basically since the JT Miller trade, but now that you mention it, I have not seen his name in the score updates in Discord recently. How bad has he been?
He was scorching like the sun. Now he's just like frozen solid cold. He's got 5 games without a point. And, you know, you got those situations. But on top of that, his last 2 games, he doesn't register even a single shot. So this is kind of a situation where, depending on how long your season is, if you're using that very last week, is that they only play 2 games after or for this week, play tomorrow and then Saturday. So sure, you might want to give him another shot because tomorrow is a light day, but there's a good chance you have someone in place or, you know, someone on your bench you could potentially play on the Saturday. And then the week after, they only play 2 games. So say if you're one of your, like the cacuffle, where next week is the finals week and you don't get to take advantage of the 4-game week the week after, this is going to be a real hard chance that, you know, we're talking about in other situations of like, hey, do you drop Sam Bennett this week for his 2-game week or those kind of things? And at least Sam Bennett's actually doing something for you. Is that like Zibanejad and just kind of the whole team has just been kind of putting up a stink of just not showing any shots or any real offensive strength. So I would feel fine, you know, give Zibanejad maybe that 1 game tomorrow because you already have him on your roster. And then after that, assuming that you have someone to play on Saturday, just cut the cord unless something significant changes.
That works for me. I mean, I feel like even the past few weeks have been a bit of a mirage in the sense that I think he was just on a hot streak and not suddenly a significantly better player than he was a month ago. I guess last but not least, I have a goalie hot streak for you. And you know how I hate my goalies. this goalie hot streak is James Reimer, even better. James Reimer has started 3 consecutive games for Buffalo after the coach said something about getting him a few more games down the stretch with a bunch of busy weeks coming up. I didn't realize a few more games meant he'd start 3 in a row, but he's on his way to his 3rd straight win. He's going to start one of the back-to-backs this weekend, so especially if he gets Sunday, you could consider streaming him. He had a .917 save percentage in a win over Winnipeg, a .938 in a win over Ottawa, and a .913 currently against Pittsburgh in a game that is all but over because Buffalo scored like 7 goals on Jari and Nedeljkovic. So, I don't know. James Reimer, back from the dead for a couple weeks. Just felt like I had to squeeze that, and I assume you would not trust streaming James Reimer.
You're talking to the person that's played 2 games of Jari this week, so I'm open to the random goalies. And in all honesty, is that basically the headline was on that game against Ottawa is that Jari, or I wish it was Jari, but Reimer was almost kind of stole the game. He played really well. So I think it's one of those situations where he played really well and it just kind of earned an X start. So this is going to be the situation. So you have to keep an eye out for this weekend is that maybe if he has a bad game and then UPL comes in and it has a great game, maybe it just switches over. But if the same narrative comes along that he plays well with the next game of the back-to-back, then UPL plays, you know, mediocre or bad, I could see Reimer just keeping the net.
Buffalo is pretty much riding the hot hand in an attempt to squeeze into the wild card at this point. I think they're a bit of a long shot, but, you know, gotta keep trying for it. Like we said at the beginning of the show, there are so many teams competing for playoff spots. It will be really interesting to see what coaching decisions are made down the stretch, especially with regards to goalies and line combos. With that, thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed our show, please consider joining the Keeping Carlson Patreon group at www.keepingcarlson.com/patron. Super supporters receive ad-free episodes, and you can interact with Brian, Elon, Shams, myself, the rest of the Short Shifts crew, and hundreds of other talented fantasy managers on our active Discord server. Check out www.gamedaytweets.com to get all the best info from Twitter without having to slog through the rest of the place. It includes team by team and searchable tweets by player name and goalie starts. Visit that site and other great sites we use to research our episodes with at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, and Natural Stat Trick. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach. Until we see you next time, play smart and keep your ships short.